Good morning, everybody. Yashar Koach for coming. It's a great kavod to have for the Kol to have such a wonderful crowd, especially a kavod to partner with the an organization like the OU, and I want to give a special karsatayv to Rabbi Grossman for helping arrange the event. It's a special kavod to have Rav Shechter here, especially I'm sure Rav Shechter is chapping nachas as he's the Moira Derech of the yeshiva of YBH, and to see such a Kol and to have such Torah. And the yeshiva, I'm sure, is something that gives them nachas. Without further ado, we're going to limit questions after the shiur, because the yeshiva has to get back to give shiur in yeshiva. We'll limit questions after the shiur, please, just to 5 minutes. Yashar Koach.
In the middle of Maseches Avodah Zarah, we have a series of three mishnayos. The first mishnah lists off Ela Dvarim Shel Nochrim, the following things, if you buy from a nochri, is Asa Bachila and Asa Bahano. Then the next Mishnah lists off Eilu Dvarim Shel Nochrim, the following things you buy from a Nochri, Zosa Bachila Muta Bahano. Then the third Mishnah lists off Eilu Dvarim, the following things you buy from a Nochri, Amuta Bachila. There's no problem. Water. Water you can buy. Water is kosher. So the Mishnah lists off the things that are Zosa Bachila Muta Bahano. So it says that Bishalakum and Pasakum are prohibited. The Gemara explains why did the Chacham, it's awesome at the Rabbanah. It's not an Issa Deraisa. Why did the Chachamim prohibit Bishalakum and Pasakum? So the Gemara speaks about the prohibition of chasnus, intermarriage. There is an Issa. A Jewish man is not permitted to marry a Nochris, and a Jewish woman is not permitted to marry a Nochri. In the Shulchan Aruch, there are more quotes from the Ramban on the Sugi of Yehorek Valyavar that if a Jewish man marries a Nochris, that's much more chomer than if a Jewish woman marries a Nochri. They're both Beidanish. But if a Jewish man marries an Ochris, that's considered like a Meshumet. That's why the minhag always was in Europe, that if a Jewish man would marry an Ochris, the family would sit Shiva. The Pashtus says they never had a minhag the other way. If a Jewish woman marries an Ochris, there never was such a minhag that the family sit Shiva. That's considered an Avera like Chilul Shabbos, like eating treifas. But if a Jewish man marries an Ochris, that's considered Mochamedik Avera. And the Lashon, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, treats him as if he became a mechutin with the Avodah Zarah. Ki bo'al bas el nechor, as if he married the daughter of the Avodah Zarah. Why? Because the Ramban explains, all the children will be goyim. The Jewish man marries an Ochris, so that's the end of the line, the children will be goyim. As opposed to the other case where the Jewish woman marries an Ochri, the children will be Jewish. What kind of a home is it going to be already if the father, if the husband is a goy? If the father's a guy. But it's not as chomer as the other way. So the Chachamim wanted to prevent chasnus, intermarriage. We know in our generation, intermarriage is a serious problem. But the Tanoim felt that it's also a problem. In their times, it was also considered a problem. So that's why they introduced these prohibitions. You're not allowed to eat bishalakum. You're not allowed to eat pasakum. You're not allowed to drink stam yenum. Yayin that was manufactured by a Nochri is also also because I may enjoy the wine so much, I may decide to marry this fella's daughter, and I'll have Ebi Kekest. I'll always have a lifetime supply of the wine that my father-in-law will produce. The Gemara says that they added on, Taisus explains on the Gemara, they added on, if the whole prohibition of Stam Yenam was only because it may lead to intermarriage, then it should be only Osa Bachilam Mutabano, like Pasakim, like Bishalakim. So once they introduced the prohibition of Stam Yeinam because of Chasnus, because it may lead to intermarriage, so they enhanced the prohibition, and they added on a concern, it's really a far-fetched concern. They wouldn't have made the Gzerah because of this alone, but once they made the Gzerah, already Mishum Chasnus, so they added on the icing on top of the cake, that there's another concern, maybe the Nochri was Menasech, the wine L'Avodah Zarah. So they prohibited the Stam Yenam even Bahanoah. Not only is it also Bachila, it's even also Bahanoah. And not only is it also if the Nochri produces the wine, and I want to marry his daughter in order to have this lifetime supply of this delicious wine, even if the Nochri is just a waiter in the wedding and he's pouring the wine, I'm not going to marry his daughter because he's a waiter at the wedding, he's pouring the wine. So once they added this far-fetched chashash, that maybe the Nochri was Menasech the wine, so even if the Nochri touch Maga Akum, the Yenu Shal Yisrael, if the Nochri handles Jewish wine, kosher wine, He also makes a treif because of the concern maybe he was menasechet. The Gemara talks about the prohibition of bishalakum, that if the nochri cooks food, you're not allowed to eat it. The Gemara presents it as if it was a din deraisa. The Gemara first learns it from Psukim and Chumash. Then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, no, it's only an asmachta midirabbanan. That's not what the Pasuk is talking about. So Tosis points out that apparently the two gzeiras were not made at the same time. Apparently the gzeira bishalakum preceded the gzeira pasakum by many years. So the pasakum, they knew that was a later gzeira. That was from the Yudches gzeiras, from the Yudches dover, that the Beishamayat voted the Beisil. And somehow the bishalakum, that was way before. The bishalakum is only prohibited, the Gemara says, strictly speaking, is only prohibited if the food is such that it's not nechal kamoshu hu chai. Let's say we have apples, so we eat apples raw, or let's say in America people eat carrots raw. In Europe there were communities where only the behemoths ate raw carrots. The human beings would never eat raw carrots. They would always eat tzimis. And Americans usually can't stand tzimis. We only like to eat the carrots raw. So if you have all, the Rambam says it depends on each medina. Let's say fish. Whoever heard of eating raw fish, mishugoyim. And now it's in style. It's the latest thing. People eat raw fish, sushi. So the Rambam, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, says it all depends upon the minhag medina. Whatever is nechal kamoshu achai, whatever is normally eaten raw, doesn't mean that right people eat it, but a lot of people eat the food raw. Then the Chachamim whenever goes around bishalakum. The Gemara has a discussion, what about eggs? The Chazanim eat the raw eggs in order to have a better voice. So the Gemara says eggs are not considered nechel kamoshu chai. Hardly anybody eats raw eggs. Eggs are considered bishalakum on eggs. And then the Gemara says also the prohibition of bishalakum only applies if it's a bekobedik and meichel. If it's a meichel, that's oil al shulchan malachim. Fish, flesh, potatoes, a meichel that you would serve al shulchan malachim. That's a question. What does that mean? Oil al shulchan malachim. So pashtas, we usually assume that what it means is it's a meichel that would be served in a chasana, meichel that would be served in a royal banquet. If the president of the United States would have a function, would he serve it? Would he find the bekovedik enough to serve it? He wouldn't give Cheerios. If you have a royal banquet, you don't give Cheerios, you don't give Wheaties. So the pashtas is that we assume that that's why there's no bishalakum on Cheerios and on Wheaties. It's not called oil al shulchan malachim. Oil al shulchan malachim means abekovedik and meichel. I live in Washington Heights, so for many years the rabbi in the Breuer's community was Rabbi Schwab. So he was once telling me, he told it to other people as well, that he had a brother who lived in Bnei Brak, another brother who lived in England. So he said he went to visit his brother in Bnei Brak, I think twice, and he had never heard of the Chazon Ish at that time. So he didn't go visit the Chazon Ish. He said he spent time in Vilna also. He said when the Chazon Ish lived in Vilna, he said he never heard of the Chazon Ish. He was in Istar, never heard of the Chazon Ish. And then he says by the third time he went to visit his brother in Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish was already world famous. So when he went to visit his brother, he figured he was going to stop off, visit the Chazon Ish. So he visited the Chazon Ish and he started talking, a cheerful conversation with the Chazon Ish, who had a smile on his face. And the conversation was going very well. And then he asked, is it okay if I ask a few shailas halacha l'maaseh? So the Chazon Ish said, okay, and it became dead serious. That's how other people also discussed, became dead serious. And he said, he started to ask the questions, the shailas, and he was giving manusalabic answers. Osa muta, no more cheerful conversation. Either osa or muta, that's the whole discussion. So he asked him about sardines. Is there bishalakam on sardines? So he said, osa. So then he started to ask, Rab Chaim Moshe says that it's mutter. Then in the middle of the sentence, he realized what I'm going to ask Rab Chaim Moshe holds mutter. He has a right to disagree with Rab Chaim Moshe. So he changed it in the middle. So he said, but you know, others hold that it's ain oil al shulchan malachim should be mutter. So he said, the Chazon Ish answered him in Yiddish, the Queen of England eats the sardines every day for breakfast. The Kenigan from England. Every day has a sardine. It's a new uptouch that oil al shulchan malachim doesn't mean would it be served in a royal banquet. And the Queen of England maybe eats Cheerios also for breakfast. According to that definition, it's oil al shulchan malachim. Oil al shulchan malachim only comes to exclude such a cheap meichel that the Queen of England, we don't have too many kings and queens these days, so that's why Chapton, the Queen of England, that the king or the queen would never eat this stuff. This stuff is such garbage, the king would never eat it. That's a mechudish dika definition. So that's the klal the Gemara has, that bishalakim is only prohibited if it has these two conditions. If it's we're not choshish that it's going to lead to intermarriage unless it's a bekava dika maichol, that's oil al shulchan malachim, and also that it's ena nechol kamoshu uchai, so the fact that the nochir cooked it really contributed to my ability to eat it. If I could have eaten it in the carrot anyway, I could have eaten the apples anyway. So the nochir didn't really do me such a gevaldige teiva by cooking it, so that's probably not going to lead to intermarriage. The Gemara sometimes has a klal, Adam Choshub Shaini. The Gemara says an Adam Choshub has to be more machmer than everybody else, even though something, strictly speaking, is mutter. An Adam Choshub should be a little bit machmer. This the Gemara learns out from the story in Megillas Rus, that the Gemara says in Bava Basra that you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael also lots of luchutz lords, unless there's a shnas batzaras, unless there's a famine, and your mamish you can't make a parnasa, there's no food to eat in Eretz Yisrael, then you're allowed to leave. So the pasuk says, "Vahira baretz," in "Vahibe meshvot ashoftim." There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael. Strictly speaking, everybody had a right to leave to chutz laretz. So. Naomi, with her husband, with their children, it says in the pasuk they were Ephrasim, and they left the chutzlords. How do you translate the words Ephrasim? So Rashi on Megillas Rus translates, they were Anoshim Chashuvim. And the Rambam quotes from the Gemara in Bava Basra that, strictly speaking, if they would have been plain Balabatim, they would have been permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael because of the famine. But because they were Anoshim Chashuvim, so they should have been Machmer more. So because they were not machmer, they followed the din. They followed the strict din that it's a shnaz bat service, you're allowed to leave. So, but everybody looks up to the Adam Choshim and he figures, I don't have to be machmer like the rabbi, I can do 10 madregas lower. So because they were anashim chashuvim, that's why they were punished. And that's why their children died, Machlan and Kilian died, because they left Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara understands from that parsha and Ruah that there's a concept of Adam Choshim Shaini. And it's across the board. The Gemara has it in many areas of halacha. We say Adam Choshev Shani. Adam Choshev should be a little more machmer than the rest of the people. So the Gemara Masecha Shabbos has over here also by Bishalach, and even though strictly speaking we have heterim on certain types of foods when you get to Bishalachim, but the Gemara says Adam Choshev should be machmer on this as well. The Shach points out in one place that even though the Bavli has it in quite a few areas of halacha, Adam Choshev Shani, Yerushalmi never has such an idea. Yerushalmi sounds as if you treat everybody the same. Adam Choshev doesn't have to be machmer, but we usually follow the Bavli. So we pass him that Adam Choshev Shani, and Adam Choshev should be machmer, even on the situations where strictly speaking, the Bishalakim should be mutter. And then the Gemara says, in the later generations, after they prohibited the Bishalakim, later generations, they introduced the prohibition of Pasakum. Pasakum is also to eat bread that was baked by a nochir because it may lead to intermarriage. What's the definition of bread? So the Shulchan Aruch says bread that you say hamoitziyad. It's only considered bread if it's made from the chameshes mine dogen bread that you have to wash until it's yadayim, and you say hamoitziyad and you recite bichas hamoz, and that's called pasakum. If you don't say hamoitziyad, then it's not called pasakum. So it says only from the chameshes mine dogen, and it has to be baked properly. Then the Gemara has a discussion regarding the Pasakum. The Gemara says that at different times they were going back and forth about this Gzeirah Pasakum, that it was very difficult to observe. You don't always have a Jewish baker. And years ago, bread was Al Alechem Yichyeh Adam. The Pasuk says, Lo Al Alechem Lebado Yichyeh Adam, but the Rishonim paraphrased the half of the Pasuk, they would say, Al Alechem Yichyeh Adam. We don't do like this, but the Europeans or in Eretz Yisrael, those who learned in yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, so you remember, they'll eat six slices of bread and then they'll eat a little bit of the other food in the meal. The bread was the main course in the meal. Not like by us, then on Shabbos we say amoitzi, and people barely eat a kazayas, and then we have so much other food. We eat the chicken and the soup and the kugel and everything else. We hardly eat any bread. But years ago, alalech miyachi ha'adam, people ate a lot of slices of bread. So that would have made it a gzeresh and revatzi b'yicholim lamed boy if you're going to be medaktik on pasakum. So you're going to go starve, you're going to fast on esim all the time. So the Gemara says at times it was up and down, at times there was a kula that was tossed about that maybe the whole prohibition of eating pasakim is because it may lead to intermarriage. So this makes sense if my next door neighbor is an ochri and he's baking an Italian bread and he does a taiva, he gives me some bread. I watched the way he made it, I know everything, all the ingredients are kosher, and the kelim that he baked it on, everything is kosher, but there's a kirav hadas over here, he's my next door neighbor, and he's giving me the bread that he baked for his family. What if he's a palter? What if he's the baker he bakes for the whole community? Why should I punkt fall in love with his daughter? Mistama, a nice guy, will marry his daughter. Why should a Jew marry his daughter? So that's why this is svara to say that basada, if you live on a farm, you don't live in the city, the Gemara says, and there is no Jewish baker available. So there's room to say that paspalta should be muta basada because it's not really, it's far-fetched that it's going to lead to intermarriage. So this was an idea that was tossed back and forth in the days of the Tanoim. And then by the time you get to the Shulchan Aruch, so you look on the first page in the second Chelek Yeradei, the beginning of Siman Kuf Yud-Beis, so you have a machlek is the Mechaber and the Ramos. So the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Kar, is following those opinions who claim that Pas Palter is Mutter when Pas Yisrael is not Motzur. When Jewish baked bread is not available, then we say Al Alech Miyachi Hodam is considered a Shas Hatchak, so we're permitted to eat the Pas Palter. And the Ramos, usually Ashkenazim follow the Ramon, usually Sfardim follow the Mechaber. Usually, every so often there's an exception to the rule. So usually that's the practice. So here the Ramon writes for Ashkenazim that Paspalter is Mutter, even where Pas Yisrael is available. You're permitted to have Paspalter. The Shach was an Ashkenazi. Shach lived in Vilna, he was an Ashkenazi. But he recommends over here the Ashkenazim should follow the Mechaber. He thinks that more correct is that we should be Machma not to have Pas Palter, unless the Pas Yisrael is simply not available. this is the Machlokes all year long. So then in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos, it says that this heter, that Pas Palter is Mutter, where Pas Yisrael is not available, according to the Mechaber, according to the Ramo, even where Pas Yisrael is available, so this heter, as Pas Palter, only applies 6 days of the week. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you shouldn't rely on the heter of Pas Palter. There is a machlokes in Achreinim, exactly what does that mean? Does that mean you shouldn't use Pas Palter for Lechem Mishneh? But if you want to have the rest, in the middle of the meal, you want to have some more slices of bread, that's okay. Or no, the Mishneh Berurah says not only should you not use, not only is it not proper to use Pas Palter for Lechem Mishneh, even if the Lechem Mishneh is home-baked chalas, but you want to have some Pas Palter in the middle of the meal, also not proper. Shabbos and Yom Tov, the proper practice should be, one should not rely on the kula Pas Palter. So then, when it comes to Hilchas Aseres Mei Tshuva, so the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rishonim, based on a passage in the Rishalmi, that one should be Machmir regarding Pas Palter and Aseres Mei Tshuva also. So here there are two ways to understand what this is all about. So some say, we treat Aseres Mei Tshuva as if it's Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's also Ashtikol Yontif. The days sandwiched in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Ashtikol Yontif. Dirash Hashem Behi Motzai, we should search out HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that season of the year where he's more available. When is he more available than the rest of the year? So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Eilo Asar Yom Shabbein Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. Aseres HaMei Tshuva is a special season of the year. So there's no Yisrael Malacha during the Aseres HaMei Tshuva, but it's a special season of the year. It's Ashtikol Yontif, like Purim, like Hanukkah. It doesn't have to be a Yontif with the Kedusha Sayyim. It's Ashtikol Yontif. So some understand that Aseres Mei Tshuva, we should avoid eating Pas Palter, like Shabbos and Yontif. We treat Aseres Mei Tshuva as if it's Shabbos and Yontif. And usually it's understood differently. Usually it's understood that Aseres Mei Tshuva, we try to be Machma on all kinds of things. Like people go to mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah and on Erev Yom Kippur, what is it all about? So it's usually assumed, some different presentations given by the Rishonim about this, so it's usually assumed that the Ezra made a takana that a Balkari is not permitted to learn Torah, is not permitted to daven. And then the Gemara says in the days of the Tanoim, they repealed the takana Ezra with respect to learning. So the Gemara says that they repealed Takanas Ezra with respect to Balkari learning Torah. What about Takanas Ezra with respect to davening? Was that repealed or not? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravitz. So the Rambam writes, the Rambam was a closet chassid. The Rambam writes, the Baruch Shlomo can testify on me that I always go to mikveh before I daven. I was just taking the Mishnah Torah. The Baruch Shlomo can testify on me that I always go to mikveh, but he says, strictly speaking, you don't have to. Because Takana says it was totally repealed. So if you don't have to, so what is he machmer about? So the Kesem Mishnah has a long arichas. Well, what is it being machmer if mikveh adin is mutter? And the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. We don't have this in the Hasagas Ravid, but the Rosh on Maseches Brachos, the end of the second parak, where the Gemara has a whole discussion of about Keri, not allowed to daven, not allowed to learn. So the Rosh quotes the Ravid as disagreeing with the Rambam. The Rosh, the Ravid is of the opinion Takanas Ezra was only repealed with respect to learning, with respect to davening. The Takanas still betokfo, so you're not permitted to daven unless you go to mikveh. So that's where the minhag comes from. The Hasinim, follow the Ravid's opinion. And the Shulchan Aruch, strictly speaking, we pass like the Rambam. The majority opinion was that the Takana says it was totally repealed. And there were Hasinim, Anshei Maisa, the Rambam included amongst them, who were Machmer, to be Choshish, but the Takana says even after it was repealed. So it's usually assumed that when it comes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we go to mikveh, we're Choshish for that opinion that you're supposed to go to mikveh in order to daven. That's the poshup shot. Why? And then it says in the Shulchan Aruch, are you permitted to set up a cholent on Erev Yom Kippur that you cook through the whole day and you're going to eat it on Mitzvah Yom Kippur? No one, don't worry, everyone is healthy, everyone's going to fast on Yom Kippur. Are you allowed to set up a cholent that that's what you're going to eat on Mitzvah Yom Kippur? So the Mechaber quotes that Yesh Shomim, that it's not permissible. Why not? What's the aver over here? What's Shema Yechata? Shema Yechata. You're not allowed to leave food on the fire unless you have a blech. You're not allowed to leave food on late on Friday afternoon. Shem Yechata, because you may want to eat it on Friday night. But on Yom Kippur, no one's going to eat anything the whole way. So what's Shem Yechata? It's not going to be ready for Mitzvah Yom Kippur 26 hours later. Of course it's going to be ready. So what's the reason why Yesham and they shouldn't do it? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, because the minig is ben machma and all kinds of things. And Aseres and made children. Ben machma, different chumash. So that's what's usually assumed to be the pshat. In this chumrah and the rishayim not to eat paspalter in aseres and mechuve, we're machme, even though strictly speaking it's really muta, not that we treat aseres and mechuve as if it's like a yontif, but rather we're machme on all kinds of things. Who are we trying to fool? The mefarshim yes, the Aruch HaShulchan told, who are we trying to fool? The Rabban Shlom, he should give us a gemar din l'toiva, because we're faking that we're such big tzaddikim, we put the talus over our head and we daven a whole day. What kind of faker? Right? So the answer is no. If a person is machmer a little bit on himself, this will have a hashpo on him. If a person, like the Gemara says, the Rabbanim in Bavel used to dress differently. They used to wear rabbinic begodim. In Eretz Yisrael, they knew how to learn very well, so they didn't wear rabbinic garments. They dressed the same as everybody else, because their learning had an influence on them. And everybody knew to respect them because of their learning. And in Bavel, they weren't such great Talmid Chacham, so they wore special rabbinic malbushim, that the malbushim should have a hashpo on them. On Shabbos and Yontif, we have to have a mitzvah of kibud v'yoinik. So the Gemara says included in kibud is that we should dress in a special way. The dressing in a special way has a hashpo on the person. So here also, aseres meitshuva, if a person will be machmer a little more than all year long, it's not that he's going to fool the Rabban Shalom, he's not going to fool the Bezen Shalmaila. Being machmer a little bit will have an influence on the person, that he should improve all of his ways in general. For the rest of the year. Strictly speaking, this all year long that we are mekel on the paspalter, according to the Mechaber, when Pas Yisrael is not available, and most are mekel, most Ashkenazim are mekel like the Ramah, that even where Pas Yisrael is available, we're mekel to eat paspalter. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch quotes from a Tosfos in the second parak in Beitza. The Gemara second parak in Beitza has a little bit of bad bishalak. Most of the dinim are in the middle of Maseches Avodah Zarah. And that middle Mishnah where it lists off Eilat Dvarim Shal Nochrim, the following things, Arasa Bachila Mutabano. The first Mishnah lists off Asa Bachila, Asa Bano, and the third Mishnah says the following things, Amuta Bachila. The middle Mishnah has the things that Arasa Bachila Mutabano, so it lists off the bishalakim and the pasakim. So most of the dinim are there. And then there's a little bit in the second parak in Maseches Beitza, so the Tosfos there has one opinion, and we are maker like that one opinion. Not only is paspalter mutter, if it's pasha mevorchem olav hamoitzi, what if it's a cake? that if you would eat enough of the cake, the Gemara says that this the concept of pasabo bikisnin. Let's say if you have wheatina or farina or something like that, oatmeal cereal, you can eat a ton of that. That's never going to become hamoitzi lechem min haaretz. It's not in a loaf shape. That's always going to be bar min mezonos. But if you have a cake in a loaf shape, it has a tzuras hapas. So the din is that if it has a tzuras hapas, it's called lechem. Yechai ben hafrosh haschala. Says the Chumash, v'aybacholchem yilechem haaretz. And the pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch is that yechai to be mafresh chala and cake and cookies also. It has a din of lechem, has a din of pas, but it's a subcategory of pas. It's called pas habobi kisnin. So pas habobi kisnin is usually mezainis. You don't have to wash until it's edam. You don't have to bench. You say alamichya. But if you eat enough of it, a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, how much is enough? So then you have to wash and say hamoitzi and recite Bichas Hamazon. So the accepted opinion in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch is, Mechaba doesn't say one way or the other. The Ramah quotes this Tosfos in the second Perek in Beitzah, that if you have cake that was baked by a palter and it's mezainis, so it really should be governed with bishul akum. It should really be an iser bishul akum. If it's delicious cake, or alal shulchan malachim, so it should be aser. So the Ramah quotes the Balei HaTosfos, no, that since if you would have eaten enough, if you would be kaveh sud on the cake, it would become hamoitzi. So it has the kula, it has the heter of pas palter. That's why many people all week long they'll eat Entenmann's cookies, and on Shabbos and Yom Tov you're not supposed to eat Entenmann's cookies because it's pas palter. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Hilchas Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says not only is it not proper to have pas palter for Lecha Mishnah, you should need pas palter all day long on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Aseres and Mitzvahs, and that's exactly the Entenmann's cookies are like that. The Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah mentions that if a Nochri bakes the bread and Yisrael participates a little bit in the preparation, in the baking process, this takes off the prohibition of Pasakim. What does it mean exactly, Yisrael participates in the baking process? So let's say the Jew did Shigiras HaTanur. The Jew lights up the oven, and the Nochri does the kneading of the dough, and the Nochri puts all of the bread in the oven. But the lighting of the fire was done by the Jew. So the Gemara said, that's enough to take off the prohibition of Pasakum. Or let's say the oven was lit by the Nochri, and the dough was kneaded by the Nochri, and the Jew puts the dough into the oven to have it bake. So the afia was done by the Jew. See, if either the Shgira Satanur or the afia was done by the Jew, so that takes off the prohibition of Pasakum. Then you have... There is a sefer that was written apparently in the days of the Gaonim. The Rishonim quote from the sefer, Tosfos and other Rishonim quote, there's a little tiny little sefer. Chilufim in Hagim Shebein Bnei Eretz Yisrael Bein Bnei Bavel. I think it's in Ganson one page. The whole little country is in one page. The Amshin Shleimer quotes it in one place. So they have Tosfos and Avodah Zarah quotes. One of the Chilufim in Hagim Shebein Bnei Eretz Yisrael Bein Bnei Bavel is with respect to Pasakum. Do you really require the entire Shgiras HaTanur should be done by the Jew? The Jew has to light the whole fire in the oven. What if the Nochri lit the fire and the Nochri needs the dough and the Nochri puts the dough into the whole Afiyas HaPas, the whole baking of the bread was done by the Nochri, but the Jew throws in Hashlochas Kisim. He throws in, they have logs that are burning that make the fire in order to bake the bread, and the Jew throws in a little splinter of wood, so they... 1% of the fire, maybe less than 1% of the fire, is due to the fact that the Jew threw in Hashlochas Kisim. So this is one of the Chilufim in Hagim Shebein Ben Eretzel Bein Ben Bavel. In Eretzel they said it's a joke. What do you mean? That's not Shgiras HaTanur. And the meaning in Bavel was Lahokil. And whatever their Chilufim in Hagim Bein Ben Eretzel Bein Ben Bavel, we always follow the Minhagim. We usually follow the Minhagim of Bnei Bavel. So that's what the Rambam quotes that kula, and Tosfos quotes the kula of Hashlochas Kisim. In Europe, that was tzaddikim would go in communities where the Jews would buy bread that was baked by non-Jews. They would rely on this kula of pas palter. So there would be tzaddikim who would live in the cities that would always go from bakery to bakery to throw a kisim, to throw a little piece of wood, a match, into the furnace, into the oven where the bread was being baked. They removed the prohibition of pasakum, that it should be considered pas Yisrael. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and the Ramah present a machlokes from earlier, from Rishonim, whether this kula of Shgiras HaTanur, if the fire is lit by the Jew, this takes off the prohibition of pasakum. was this kula only introduced with respect to Pasach, and because al alechem yichya ha'adam, that was always considered more of a shas hadchak. Bread was the staple of all of the meals. People used to eat 6-7 slices of bread in a meal. Maybe by bishul akum that's not sufficient. Let's say if the Jew lit the fire and the Nochri prepares all the food, the whole bishul is done by the Nochri, but the Nochri is cooking the food on a fire that was lit by the souls. And the Mechaber goes l'chumr, and the Sfardim usually follow the Mechaber on this issue, that Shigiras HaTanur only removes the Yisra Pasakum and does not remove the Yisra of Bishol Akum. And then Amor writes for Ashkenazim that we are makel on this, that even if even in the case of Bishol Akum also, if the Yisra lit the fire, this takes off the prohibition of Bishol Akum. So that's what they do in all the yeshivas and all the restaurants that are under Hashgacha. They don't, usually they have non-Jews doing all the Bishol. Most of the yeshivas and most of the kosher restaurants in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lo'as all over, all the bishul is done by non-Jews. So everything should be aser, everything should be aser mitam bishul akum. So they rely on this kula that they see to it that the mashgiach lights the fire. Someone Jewish in the kitchen is watching to make sure they don't mix up fleshings with milchiks, they don't take in any non-kosher ingredients. So whoever is watching on the kashrus lights the fire, and then for Ashkenazim they rely on this. How come Sfardim also rely on this? That's the problem. So Chacham Avadya has a whole tshuva why in Eretz Yisrael the common practice is that the Sfardim also rely on these Ashkenazi kulas. They don't. The Sfardim don't hold from this kula. So that's a problem. Then the Ramah quotes even a further step from the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and in the Torah Schatos, and he quotes from earlier from Yisra V'Heta, that not only if the flame was lit by the Jew and the Nochri does the Bishul, does this take off Bishul Akum, even if the Jew has one fire lit and the Nochri lit the fire from the fire that was lit by the Jew. Hidlik Eish, Eish, Hidlik HaYisrael, the Nochri lit the fire with which he's cooking. So the whole thing is Mamish Bishul Akum. The fire was lit by the Nochri, the vegetables were chopped up by the Nochri, the flesh, the fish, everything was done by the Nochri from A to Z. The only thing is that flame that the Nochri lit, that he cooks all the food with, that was Hidlik Eish Me'esh Hidlik HaYisrael. This flame was lit from another flame that was lit by the Yisrael. So that's the Charedi, that's a stretch on a kula. The Mechaber holds that the kula of Shgiras HaTanur only applies to Pasakum. It doesn't apply at all to Bishul Akum. So the Ramah is not only Mekel on that, quoting Rishonim, is even Mekel a giant step past that, if Hidlik Eish Me'esh Hidlik HaYisrael. So that's really a pella. Usually the Rosh HaShulchan is the big mekel. He's known for his Koech Dehetere. And he says over here, what a whopper of a heta, with such a stretch of a kula. This is unbelievable. So basically the Taz, also the Taz wants to limit it. So the Taz says, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah sounds like he's only mekel if Hidlik Eish Me'esh Hidlik HaYisrael B'tzirif another kula. The Tosfos in Avodah Zarah on the Sugya Bishul Akum quotes an opinion from the Rabbeinu Avraham. We know it's the Ravid. We don't know exactly who this Rabbeinu Avraham is. They quote a kula that there's no prohibition of Bishul Akum the base of Shal Yisrael. If you have a maid, a non-Jewish maid cooking in the Jewish home, and the Balabasta knows that everything is kosher, there's no prohibition of Bishul Akum. Why not? What happened to the Chashash of Chasnus? So they say, what do you mean? My child is going to, I'm going to marry, my son is going to marry the maid's daughter. My daughter's going to marry the maid's son. It's a lower level of society. We're going to marry, we're going to become a chutanim with some of the same level of society. Nochem Yidin, okay, but there's a chashash of intermarriage if they're on the same level in the society, not if the maid is my employee. So there's such a kula. So we don't paskin like that opinion in Tosfos Lachatchila. We just paskin b'diyeved. If the Nochri cooked the base of Shal Yisrael, you know that everything is kosher, just a shalach and chasnos. So b'diyeved, we would rely on that. If the alternative is, what are you going to do with the food? You're going to throw it out? You're going to tell the Nochri she should take it home? So that's hefset. So b'diyeved, we would be mekel. So that's what many poskim follow the Taz. So this kula hidlik eish me'esh hidlik haYisrael, we're only mekel b'tziruf, the fact that it's b'base of Shal Yisrael. So really, each kula is only mutter b'diyeved. But if you have a situation, that was the style of psak that the poskim used to have in Europe, that Bishul Akum is an Issa derabbanan. So the prohibition of Bishul Akum, there's room to be mekel. If you have a tziruf of two shittas, each of the two shittas is not accepted, la halacha lachatchila. But the yevi, we would be mekel if it's a nochri is cooked by basis shal Yisrael, and b'di'evit would be mekel if hidlik esh me'esh hidlik al Yisrael, but l'chatchil we wouldn't be mekel. So we have the tziruf of the both shittas together, so then there would be mekel. That's the style that the poskim have in Bishul Akum. That's called the tziruf hashittas. If the two tzdadim l'hakel, even though you don't really rely on either of them, l'chatchil, but only b'di'evit, but the tziruf are both together, we would rely. In the Shulchan Aruch, there is an interesting machlokes harishonim presented, and the Ran in his Tshuvas has a very snazzy. We learned the Ran. Ran is always cheerful. Ran is always lebedik. So the Ran has a Tshuva where he ties up all the loose ends and he presents the following chakira. The Ran is always yeshivish chakiras. Like Rav Soloveitchik said, he never wanted to give shiurim on the Dorim. He said, because on the Dorm you have the Ran. He said, the Ran was the Rosh Yeshiva. He doesn't let you say anything. The Ran took over the whole Masichta. So he says, on other than Masichtas, but it's Rashi and Taisus, he'll say, the Dorm, he can't say. The Ran was the Rosh Yeshiva. So the Ran has a Lomdashe Tshuva, a cheerful, snazzy Tshuva. He clears a Shaila, and he says, this is a big Machlekes HaRishonim. The prohibition of Bishul Akum and Pasakum is because we're afraid it may lead to intermarriage. So that's like taking out a Nochris on a date. You're not allowed to date a nochris because it may lead to intermarriage. So the prohibition of eating pasakim or bishalakim is like his karvis to a nochris. That's why it's also. They say no. That's what motivated the chachamim to prohibit it. But bottom line, it's labeled as macholas asuris. What's an afkamin? It's a medrei tahin, it's a medrei taher. What's the difference? What motivated them because it may lead to intermarriage, but it's really an isur macholas asuris. Or they say, no, it's not nothing to do with macholas asuris. Eating this food is like dating a nochris. It's an isa hiskaros. So the Ran has three nafkaminas. So one nafkamina he discusses is, do you need shishim? Do you need shishim? We say tam ki ikir. If you have tray for food, and it gets mixed into kosher food, even though more than 50% of the food is kosher, and it's only less than 50% is a tray for ingredient, so it should really be bottled beroiv. We learn that from psukim bittel beroiv. But if you have something that's macholas asurais, so even though it's less than 50%, we say tam ki ikir, since it's nice and tam, so it's not bottled. But that's only if you're dealing with macholas asurais. If you're not talking about macholas asurais, you don't apply tam ki ikir. So this was a major machlokes harishonim. Let's say a nochri cooked something, and it's also because of bishul akum, or pasakum, and then it gets mixed into another meichel, and it's ein anikir. Would you say that it's bottled beroiv, or would you say that you need shishim? So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that it's bottled beroiv. You don't need shishim. Okay? That's the Ramah, the Shach, and the Taz. All three say pe'echot. The Warishanim who said not so, they lost out. In Shulchan Aruch, their opinion is not quoted. We paskin bottled beroiv. Then you have another machlokes harishonim. So the Ran says it's haba hatalya. The Avdei Nezer also has this. Avdei Nezer didn't have a Tshuva Saran. He rediscovered this pilpul. So the Ran has a second afkamina. There is a klal that once a food becomes treif, the Rosh has this machlokes with the Ramban. The Rosh in the beginning of the Hemam Kasha. Let's say an animal has a broken leg in such a way that it became a treif. So if you shech the animal, it's also bachila. A treifa is a treifa. But the Mishnah has, if the leg would have broken 2 inches higher, it would not be a treifa. So the Ramban says, so use your brains. If the animal broke its leg over here, so take a saw and cut 2 inches higher, and then shech the behema. So the Ramban says, anachinami. If the shechet uses his seichel, let him cut off another 2 inches higher, it'll become ois treifa. The Mishnah says that it's treifa if it broke a leg lower. If the shochet didn't have the presence of mind to cut off extra. And the Rosh says, what are you talking about? How can that be? The Gemara has an expression, treif einach ezeres lehechshero. Once a thing became osa bachila, it remains osa bachila. You can't say, cut another 2 inches higher and it's become kosher. Once it's treif. So what's the din by Bishul Akum? Let's say a nochri cooked some food. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Gemara, if the nochri cooked till the point of Michael ben Derusoy, means that some people would eat it the way it is. Most people would not enjoy it. Most people eat well-done meat, steaks, and some people eat rare-done. So if the nochri cooked, nochri takes steak, kosher steak, we're watching him, and he does bishul akum, and it's done, it's cooked rare-done. So some people would enjoy it the way it is. It just became bishul akum. So then a Jew takes this steak and he puts it back on top of the fire and he makes it mevushal kol tzarkoi. So there's a machlokes harishonim whether you apply the rule treif einach ezeres lehechsherim. So this machlokes is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and again, we're mekel on this. Why? Because we paskin that it's not called macholas asuris. If bishalakum would have been what motivated the chachamim to prohibit bishalakum, is the concern of intermarriage. But bottom line, we declare that it's macholas asuris. So then we would have applied the klal of the Rosh Treif Heino Chajeris Lech Shera. Once something becomes Macholas Asuris, it can't become Mutter. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin that it's Batal Berav, you don't need Shishim. It's not Macholas Asuris. So we paskin the klal doesn't apply here. Bottom line, when I'm going to eat the food, part of the Bishul was accomplished by the Yisrael, even though they already became Treif first. When the Nochri cooked it, Kamachal Ben Rizoi, it became Oseh Ba'achila. But if the Yisrael continues to cook it, till the point of the same thing by pas. So let's say the Nochri baked the pas, and it's pasakum because it's a kerma paneha bitanur. It has a crust on top and on bottom, it's called pas. But it's a little, still a little bit raw. And then the Jew takes the bread and he puts it back into the oven, and now it's better done. Now the bread is fully baked. So then it removes the isra of pasakum because we hold that it's not really macholas asuris. It's an isra hiskarbis with the yakum. And the third issue, that's also a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, and the Ran explains how everything is totally zebizeh, is an issue that comes up every so often in private homes, and it comes up in industrial kashrus also all the time. The shaila whether you have to kasher. Let's say I have a maid, and the maid cooks some kosher food in my pot. She cooked some raw, she took some raw food from my refrigerator, and she cooked it in my pot. So the din is if a nochri is cooks the basis shall Israel. So the Tosfos had one opinion that there's no isa bishalakam. So we paskin b'di'evit it's mutter. We don't paskin like that. We say b'di'evit it's mutter. So on Shulchan Aruch it's a little bit humorous, but the psak in the Shulchan Aruch is the food is mutter because the alternative is you have to throw it out. They give it to the dogs. They give it to the nochri. So that's called b'di'evit. But the pot you have to kasha. That's usually sometimes you have fakert. You're not allowed to eat the food, but you don't have to kasher the pot. Here it's fakert. The food is mutter, and the pot has to be gekashered. Why? Because as far as the pot is concerned, that's lachatchila. You have a very easily to do. The alternative is kasher the pot. But as far as the food is concerned, you're going to say the food that the noch is cooked with basis shel Yisrael is also bachila. So goodbye. So you have to throw it out and give it to the dogs or give it to the nochris. So that's called b'di'evit. But when you get it to the pot, we say the lachatchila you have to kasher. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes this machlokes. If a nochri cooked kosher food in a kosher pot, is there a din of blias kelim? And now I want to cook kosher food in the same pot. So is there a din that you have to kasher the pot before you use it for kosher? Or do you say no? What the anisa of hiskarvus? So the Ran explains, this is the shaila. If the prohibition of bishalakam and pasakam is because it's macholos asuris midirabbanan, The reason why they made the gzera because it may lead to intermarriage. But bottom line, the essence of the gzera was that it's macholas asurais. So the nochri cooked tray for food on the pot. So you have to kasher. Kashering pots is based on tam kikir. So you should apply tam kikir, you have to kasher the pot. But if you say it's not an isa macholas asurais and there's no din of tam kikir, you don't need shishim. That's how we paskin, you don't need shishim. So it should follow that you shouldn't have to kasher. Because kashering pots, the Gemara says kashering pots, is based on Tam Kikir. The Gemara says, how do you know that there's a din of Tam Kikir in HaTorah? From Gyuli Klei Midyan. The Chumash says, you have to kasher a treifah pot. What's going to happen already? It's going to give an asinus tam. The treifahs and the pot is going to give an asinus tam into the kosher soup. The maximum you can have is Tam Kikir. So if you say that by Bishalakim there is no din of Tam Kikir because it's not Macholos HaSulis, you shouldn't have to kasher the pot. So that's what the Rav explains. These are Mamish Toli Zebizet. You look in Shulchan Aruch though, so on the two that are toli zebizeh, we paskin in a consistent fashion. If the nochri cooked the bishalakom and Yisrael cooks at the end, it's not treifah chazeres lachsheva. It's not macholas asuris mutter. And the need shishim is enough with roi, so we paskin roi is enough. There's no din of tam kikah. All of a sudden, by the blias kelim, we paskin you have to kasher the pot. Why do you have to kasher the pot? That's a pella. So yeah, someone has to break his head to figure out. All three should really be toli zebizeh. So that's room for pilpul. People have to negotiate on that. Why do we, the way the Ran explained, all three should be toli zebizeh, why all of a sudden are we machmer by the blias kelim, even though the din of tam kikah doesn't apply? We're machmer to require hagole on the kli that the nochri cooked in. The Mishnah Brura in Hilchas Shabbos has a shaila. The Gemara says, if you have a choyle she'ein bo sakona, if you have a choyle she'yesh bo sakona, so you have to do whatever is necessary. Eat on Yom Kippur, and you have to drive the person to the hospital to give birth to the baby, whatever, there's a suffix sakana, you have to do whatever is necessary. What if you have a chodesh ein bo sakana? So the different heterim. So one of the heterim the Gemara has in Masechah Shabbos is that amir l'nachri is permissible on behalf of a chodesh ein bo sakana, even on an issa deraisa. If he's a chodesh ein bo sakana, unless he's only a bari when a mechesh be'alma, is a different story. But if the person is a chodesh ein bo sakana, so amir l'nachri is muta. So let's say the person is a chodesh ein bo sakana, and he'd like to have. He doesn't feel well. He'd like to have some freshly cooked food. So he permitted to ask a nochri to cook the food for him on Shabbos. So the food that the nochri cooked on Shabbos should really be bishalakum. So we make on the bishalakum. We allow him to eat the bishalakum. So the Mishnah Berurah says, but other people shouldn't eat that food. So what's going to be after Shabbos is over? Do you have to kasha the pot? So there the Mishnah Berurah is making. He says, even on Yerbedeya, there's a machlokes. If a nochri cooked bishalakum in a pot, do you have to kasha the pot? So there we're machmir. So the Mishnah Berurah here in Hilchas Shabbos is mekel. If the nochri cooked the food for cholah shema sakana and it was beheter and the cholah was permitted on Shabbos to eat the food, so then he's mekel. You don't have to kasha the pot. You can rely on the mekilim. But normally, if it's not such a situation, so normally we're machmir about that you do have to kasha the pot. One of the Birke Yosef is written by the Chidor on Yerideya. He has a likut of Achraidim, like the Knesset HaGadolah has a likut. The Beis Yosef is a likut of everything until the days of Rabbi Yosef Kara. Then the Knesset HaGadolah is a likut of everything that Rabbi Yosef Kara didn't have until his time. Then you have the Shiori Knesset HaGadolah is a likut of whatever the Knesset HaGadolah didn't have. Then the Birke Yosef is a likut of whatever the Shiori Knesset HaGadolah didn't have. A likut. So the Birke Yosef on Hilchas Bishalakim quotes an opinion from one of the Sfaradish Gedolim that since the whole prohibition of Bishalakim is because we're afraid that it may lead to intermarriage, so it only makes sense if it's my next door neighbor, he's an Italian Nochri, nice man, and he's my rabbi, he wants to show me the way he uses kosher ingredients and kosher pot and everything is kosher, and he's very friendly with me, so that may lead to intermarriage. What if it's, or we said paspalter, we all live in the community, we know who the baker is. This is the local baker, so why should I fall in love with his daughter? He bakes for everybody, he's not my, b'miyuchad is not my friend. It's not my guy, he will marry his daughter. So that's room to negotiate on the paspalter. What if the bread is baked in Missouri? I don't even know where the city is. I don't even know, no one even knows who it is. Or the tuna fish is cooked in Pago Pago, or in Puerto Rico, whatever. Till you're going to go to Puerto Rico, till you're going to find out who it is who cooked the tuna fish, the stomach will be fired and there'll be someone else cooking the tuna fish there. You're never going to find out who it is, who the Nachri is. It's so impersonal. So that's what one of the Sfaradish Gedolim had at Tzad LaHokel, that the whole prohibition of Bishalakim is because it may lead to intermarriage. If the whole process is so impersonal, and they didn't have the way we have today, we have distribution from one side of the world to the other side of the world. And Gansan, a different globe, a different continent. So one of the Achreidim came up with such a ninefold, so that opinion was not accepted. So they quote in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he doesn't have it in his tshuvas, but his Talmidim say it over in his name, that he thought that really Mikra did in this svara is a very strong svara. That if it's so impersonal, how can you say that there's an Isra Bishalakim that may lead to intermarriage? But the reason why we don't accept that kula is because it's a loy plug rabbanon. 99% of the gzeres the rabbanon were introduced as a loy plug. Even in a situation where the reason for the gzeres doesn't apply, the gzeres still applies. So Rav Moshe is quoted as having said that this loy plug rabbanon only applies if the cooking process that they use in the factory is similar to the way it's cooked. The next neighbor would cook it exactly the same, except that in the factory, it's the oven is the size of this room, and the volume is much more, 1,000 times more than the next neighbor does. But it's basically the same cooking process, the same baking process. What if they haven't gone to a different cooking process? It's not at all similar to the way the next neighbor would do. So then Rav Moshe said, in such a situation, he thinks that there's room to be mekel, that it doesn't make sense to say in such a case that should be a loy plug rabban. So what the rabbanim usually do is, some would rely on Rav Moshe, And others would be mitzarif that with other tzadim lahakel. If you have another tzad lahakel, that's the minig of the poskin in Europe, the darkei tshuva by the minkacha. Darkei tshuva quotes the poskim in Europe used to be makel by bishalakum. It says in Shulchan Aruch bishalakum is only the rabbanus, and whenever there's a suffix the rabbanu lekula. So the minig haposkim used to be whenever there would be a tziruf hashitas, there would be two tzadim lahakel. So then there would be makel lahatchila on the bishalakum. There's a big issue today regarding bishalakum on a microwave, because the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi a sofek which forms of bishal are included in the prohibition of bishalakum. What about kovush? Let's say the nochri makes pickles, so kovush kimavushal. But the Gemara says if a nochri makes pickles, we don't say kovush kimavushal that is bishalakum. That's for sure mutah. Well, what about, let's say, maliach? Let's say the nochri treated meat. The meat was inedible. It was not nechel k'mo shu chai, fish, a meat or something, and he salted it till the salting process made it roi l'achila. We just say maliach kiraseach, and it's included in bishalakam anat. Or would you say ishun? Let's say the nochri made the fish that sometimes made edible by a smoking process. So if you had, sometimes there's a hot smoke, and sometimes there's a cool smoke that's not really Yatzel Erizbo. So let's say it's a case where you don't have a hot smoke. So the Yerushalmi has a suffix. Is that included? Is Me'ushon included in the prohibition of Bishalakum? So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Beis Yosef that since this is an Ibai de Leib Shita in Yerushalmi, so when they get to Bishalakum, we go to Hakel. Asveka de Rabban Lukula, we go to Hakel. In other words, they only prohibited Bishul Akum if it's the normal form of Bishul. If it's some irregular kind of Bishul, then it's not included in Bishul Akum. So Chacham Avadya is of the opinion that sometimes you cook food by steaming it, by burning hot steam. You shoot, you have a hose and you shoot burning hot steam. That's how they cook the tuna fish in the tuna fish practice. If they cook by steaming, see, he is of the opinion that that's the same as Me'ushan. And the Yerushalmi had a suffix on Me'ushan, and Rabbi Yosef Kara is Mekel, Shulchan Aruch and Mekel on that. So Chacham Avadya holds the same applies to steaming. Others distinguish, and they say, no, steaming is Bishul with burning hot steam. That's the same Amish as Bishul. The Yerushalmi suffix was on Me'ushan if it's not burning hot smoke. Sometimes you smoke fish with a cold smoke, and it makes it Roi L'Achila. So that's a big machlokes. So that's a Shaila today. There are many who are Machmer. There are different opinions on the on cooking by microwave. Is that too included in the prohibition of Bishalakum? The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos says that Bishal is only the Eish or the Toldos Eish. When you get to Hilchah Shabbos, when you get to Korban Pesach, there's a lav, Al Techo Men and Noah, Boshem Mavushal Bamayim. If you eat a Korban Pesach, that's Mavushal, so you get Malkus. So what if you cooked it Bechami Tveria? What if you cooked it not be'esh and not be'toldos esh? So the Gemara says that that's not called mevushal for Shabbos purposes, it's not called bishal for basa b'chala purposes, it's not bishal deraisa, it'll only be basa b'chala rabban. It's not called bishal b'negeh to korban pesach, basa mevushal. Bishal deraisa for korban pesach purposes, for basa b'chala purposes, for malacha Shabbos purposes, it's only either bishal be'esh or be'toldos esh. Any other source is only the rabban. So that's a shaila. What if you have, let's say, Adud Shemesh, and Eretz Yisrael, so popular. So you have it heated up from the heat of the sun. So it'll come out that's not their Isa. May even be it's not even the Rabbana. Is that possible today? It's not their Isa. So it's interesting, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Soloveitchik, both independently of each other, thought of the same Chumrah, that Rabbi Moshe is usually known for his Kulas. Once in a long while, he comes up with a Chumrah. So Rabbi Moshe and Rabbi Soloveitchik, Shneim Niskavna Radover Echad, the Rashi says on the Gemara in Shabbos and Perakira that the reason why Bishul deraisa is only be'esh or betoldos esh, because that's the normal way to do Bishul. Bishul bechama, betoldos chama is irregular. So they both said that today, that since this Dud Shemesh, the energy that you collect from the sun, the heat of the sun, this is a multi-billion dollar industry that they manufacture this Dud Shemesh. And every other person, every home in Eretz Yisrael has it. So since today it became derech bishul b'kach, so that becomes bishul deraisa. So that's a question. It could be that the microwave oven could be the same. That's considered mamish normal. Every other person has a microwave oven. Could be that would be considered bishul. That's considered normal bishul. So there's a big dispute. It's normal bishul today, but it wasn't the type. It wasn't considered normal bishul in the days of the Tanoim when they prohibited bishul akum. So that's why there's a machlokes today whether using a microwave oven for the purpose of cooking is considered bishul akum or not. Bottom line, we have a problem. Rabbi Belsky from Torah Vadas, from the OU, always has this line. Dachzach, we have such good heterim on the bishul akum, and dachzach, the rate of intermarriage keeps on going higher and higher. So we must be doing something wrong over here. So we have to stop eating the bishul akum. You have to stop eating the bishul akum all year long. The pastakum with the bishul akum and aseres meitshuveh. We have a minig to be machmer on many things. So one of the many things that we're machmer on to have an influence on our neshamas that should improve us for the rest of the year is that we avoid even relying on the heter of paspalter. All year long, Ashkenazim rely on the heter paspalter, like the Ramos says, even when Pas Yisrael is available. And the Shach thinks that we shouldn't even do that. We should follow the Mechaber here. We should only rely on the heter paspalter when Pas Yisrael is not available. And Aseres Yemei Teshuva, we shouldn't rely on that heter. We should all be blessed with a Ksiva V'Chsima Teva, good Gevensh Yor. I think it does. I think it depends on the type of food. Flesh is subject to bishul akum. I think so.
What about potato chips then? What's the chopped potato chips?
That's a question. Potatoes are royal al shulchan aruch. They always have potatoes. In this form, not. That's a question whether
potatoes.
I think they say the name of Rabbi Yanke Kamenetsky. He thought that potato chips are bishul akum.
Yeah.
And others think not so. Some Rishonim had a girsa in the Gemara. We have the girsa, but we don't interpret it like that. Some Rishonim interpreted bishul akum is only if it's lapis boyas hapas, it's something that you would eat together with bread. So potato chips, you would never make a potato chip sandwich. I used to have a harusa, used to make potato chip sandwiches. But as Batla Daita, he's a very big Tam Chacham now. But Batla Daita, it's a das kol b'ri adam. So many Rishonim are makel on that. Let's say a chocolate bar. A chocolate bar is a bishul akum and it's all a shulchan aruch maybe, but it's not lapis boyas hapas. Some hold that that's enough to be makel. And others are only mitzarv that with other tzedarim lahok.
And what about a non-from Jew lighting the fire? Is that considered non-bishul akum or pasul?
The Pischei Tshuva quotes a machloikis. Non-from means he doesn't go to shul v'ashen yam kippah. Mumadina ka'akum means either one who worships avodah zarah or one who violates rov dina ha-Torah. That's called a mumadina ka'akum. Rov dina ha-Torah that he's aware of. Mechal Shabbos befehesi is dina ka'akum. But many of the recent poskim, the Binyan Tzion through the Chazon Ish, they all say we hear very rare that you have a Chal Shabbos Befesi means it's bemezid and he's breaking the discipline in the community. If Rova the people are not Shomer Shabbos, he can't point the finger and say he's Machal Shabbos Befesi. That's not Befesi. We're the Orthodox Jews are sometimes breaking the discipline. The non-observant are not breaking the discipline. So if you have a Jew as Mamish Dina Kakum, then it's a Machloikis HaPoskim. And then the minig is lahakam. That's a machlag, is the minig is lahakam.
So, I'm an algam of a non-Jew. Is that in any way take away the bishul akum?
No. So, I'm an algam of, we're makel that it takes off gvinas akum. That's a machlag, is we're makel it takes off the yitz of gvinas akum. But it doesn't help. The bishul akum doesn't help. That's what the recent poskim are make already on that. The poshep shad, the hidlikesh meheshi, hidlikaisal means the Jew has a fire that you can cook on. And the Nochri lit a fire from that he's going to cook on. So then the men, they chiseled that down also. That the Jews just had a pilot light, the Jew blows out the pilot light and lights it again. So now the pilot light is eshi, hidlikaisal, you can't cook anything on a pilot light. So we're makel on that also. We chiseled that down also. Yeah. But we're only makel on hidlikesh meish hidlikaisal the beis shel Yisrael. Beis shel Akman is not right to be makel. They told me that New Jersey somewhere they have a pizza shop that's owned and run by non-Jews, They just have a Jew come in to light the private light. So that's very questionable. Hidl geish meishid l'kai Yisrael b'beisr shalakum. That's not really right. So that kashrus organizations says bishalakum are always mekel. Okay. But we shouldn't, because there's an awful lot of intermarriage.
Right, just have your attention just for one. Rav Schatz bench with a minion, no?
Yeah, we have.
Okay, just before we bench with a minion, it's a great pleasure for the AskOU Outreach Program to partner with the community kollel, and we all were zoichet to hear this fascinating shir from Rav Schachter Shlita. And I just want to give a kors hatoyv to Rav Schachter Barabim, that whenever he's asked to give a shir, without a moment's hesitation, he says yes. The only thing he has to check his calendar if he has another conflicting obligation. And I just want to point out that today's shir, there was a major organization that wanted Rav Schachter elsewhere, and we all owe a debt of gratitude to Rabbi Krauss that he had the foresight to preempt that major organization by reserving Rav Schachter weeks before. And Mimela, I think that was one reason Rav Schachter said yes. Also, that was like a fundraising thing. This was a shir lalocha, and I'm sure he had more geschmack to give the shir here today. But whatever it was, we really owe Rav Schachter tremendous thanks. And I wish on behalf of the OU, much hatzlocha, continued hatzlocha in our batz tatayra to the community kollel. Aksiv v'ksima tayva, shkai.
We're back now.